For streaming, creating, gaming, and more, power your passions for less during Dell's exceptional cyber savings event. Enjoy up to $400 off stunning laptops like the XPS, along with high-performance desktops and next-level Alienware systems, redefining what's possible with 10th-gen Intel Core processors. Shop special prices on top-brand electronics and accessories, plus enjoy free shipping on everything. Don't forget to ask for Intel when you call 1-800-BUY-DELL. That's 1-800-BUY-DELL.
Hello, beautiful people. It is Friday, December 13th. Friday the 13th. Spooky shit. Got a good one for you today. Can't wait for you to listen. Very thankful that you're choosing to listen to this show. Also very thankful if you choose to lose anything. Well, unless it's weight or negative vibes or, you know, the bullshits. That's what you should lose, but you should use our presenting sponsor, our number one sponsor, our good friends from SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the greatest ticket buying platform on planet Earth and
the moon.
Yes, the moon. If you're gonna buy tickets on the moon or tickets right here on planet Earth, you need to use SeatGeek because SeatGeek scans all the other ticket buying platforms to make sure you're getting the best value for the best tickets available. That's right. And the ticket that you buy is the ticket that you get so you can shop with confidence. Not as much confidence as I have right now with the Ravens minus 14.5 up 21-7 to start of the third quarter, but you could shop with confidence when you shop with our friends at SeatGeek. And right now, use promo code PAT. You get $10 off your first order. Promo code McAfee, get $20 off your first order from our friends at SeatGeek. Great holiday gift. I'm sure friends and family have a concert that you know they would love to go to. Maybe it's a sporting event. Maybe it's comedy. Maybe it's a theater thingy. They have it all. Right now, promo code PAT, $10 off. Promo code McAfee, $20 off. You know what I'm learning about this game? Thanks to SeatGeek, by the way. I don't think I get to watch the Jets much. And now the Jets, we all know, are a laughing stock. I mean... they have been for a long time. Quarterback got mono. That's tough. I mean, that's just, you get an adolescent disease to start the season. I mean, that is difficult to take serious, especially when this year is supposed to be here. They pay Le'Veon Bell all the monies after he sat out a year, and then they fire the GM after he spends all the monies, make Adam Gase not only the head coach but also the GM. Bring another GM. I get it. But then that running back gets the flu, sits out a game, goes and bowls 251. I mean, there's a lot of things to judge the Jets on. They've looked pretty good here this evening. I mean, aside from a pick at the end of the half there that I just seen deep in the red zone by Sam Darnold, which was just an absolutely disgusting decision by him, I think Sam Darnold's a lot better than I give him credit for. I'm not sure Adam Gase deserves more credit than we give him, but I think Sam Darnold's better than I give him credit. He's like 15 years old, too. I mean, the kid got mono. You got to be young to get that. Le'Veon Bell, Troy Aikman was kind of burying him a little bit. He's like, doesn't think he's trying as hard as he should be. I don't know if that's the case, but Le'Veon Bell is definitely not in a situation where he's happier than when he was at Steelers. I mean, when he was at Steelers, he was trying to get the big paycheck. Then he sat out an entire year, dropped a couple rap songs, gets paid. It's a lot different world when you're sitting on yachts and jet skis rapping than whenever you're getting your ass kicked for a team in the biggest city in the world, and they're not the world. I guess there's larger cities, but in America, and you're just getting beat. I mean, that's tough, but they look better than I thought they were going to look. And this Ravens team, Lamar Jackson, so much fun to watch. I mean, he broke Michael Vick's single-season rush record for quarterback, which I would assume, I was too young at the time, I think, but I would assume everybody on earth thought that was never going to get touched. And we still have games left to play. This dude's unbelievable. He got popped on that record-breaking one, though, which I think everybody's scared of. Like, hey, pal, you're the most dynamic football player on earth right now. It'd be awesome for you not to get hit or hurt and hit. So let's try to be a little bit more safe. I assume a lot of Ravens fans are thinking that, but dude's a player, man. He's so good. And Mark Ingram doesn't get enough credit either. I know he's a big hype man, big trust, but I think he really sets that the whole thing off because you got to respect the run for the option to work. And then these big old tight ends, these big body guys. Hurst, the tight end with the long hair and the red mustache. Might be a full beard, but his helmet on just looks like a mustache. I wish I'd grow a good mustache. But that dude, I guess he got drafted to play in the majors for baseball.
And he throws like 90-something, and he somehow got the yips. He just couldn't throw a fucking strike. Imagine how upsetting that would be if you had a rocket launcher attached to your right shoulder or left shoulder. You could throw in the high 90s, and your brain and hand just can't get on the same fucking page enough to throw a strike. Like, he couldn't throw a strike. The entire box was just an untouchable place for him. Got the yips. So instead, he becomes a superstar tight end for Lamar Jackson, one of his biggest weapons. Good for Baltimore. Good for the Ravens. But I would assume that that guy's been through some things mentally to get him into a very mentally tough stage right now. I couldn't even fathom how upset I would be at myself. I mean, granted, I had a very strong leg and I had no idea where the ball was going when I was kicking field goals there for a bit. But every once in a while, I'd get one just to sneak in. I was told by Ty Schmidt, or a baseball guy, I just couldn't throw strikes. That'd be upsetting. Your whole life, you got this hose of an arm. You're really good. You get drafted, and then all of a sudden, it just happens. You can't throw anymore. But you know what they would say? This is what people would say that are religious. God had a plan for this man. God had a plan. When God closes one door, another door opens. And whenever they say that, you always say like, bullshit. But it seems like for this guy, maybe that is what happened. You know, whichever God you believe in, Buddha's the oldest one. So, I mean, he has to be in the conversation anytime you talk about a God. The oldest God is a God that should be talked about if you're going to talk about gods. Buddha, Jesus, God, Allah, Austin Collie, Tom Cruise, that whole crew of gods. If we could give them a little bit of credit for this hearse guy, whichever one it was, I mean, I think we have to. The universe finds a way for good things to happen to people, I think. And I'm happy for this hearse guy. Hurts or Hurst? Let me read the back of his jersey right. And it's his hair's in a way. All those letters are in it. Hurst, good tight end, good player. Great, this Ravens team seems to be. Like, they even struggled a little bit here tonight early, and they're still going to win by probably 21. Could be wrong. I could have just mushed them. We shall see. Anyways, we got some good shit for you here.
Okay, let's get right into it. After this year, after every NFL season, there's something called Black Monday, where head coaches just get canned one after another. Coaches usually expect it coming. Sometimes they get blindsided. They're told their season just wrapped up. They just went through training camp. They went through a terrible year of losses and humiliation in press conferences, in the media talking bad about how they coach the football. And each week they get up in front of their team, try to motivate the guys to get them to go out there and give it their best shot. And then most of the time they don't, which is why they're in the position that they're in. And they wake up with probably a couple years and millions of dollars still guaranteed to them, and they're told immediately, we no longer want you a part of this franchise. You stink as a head coach. You don't deserve to be holding a clipboard. You don't deserve to be standing in front of the team meeting room anymore. You don't deserve to be on the sidelines, and we're sick of you representing our franchise. And there are five spots that ESPN is assuming is going to be wide open. One of them already is. And they rank them from hot to cold. Diggs, please tell me the spots that ESPN thinks are a good coaching position and the places that they think are a bad potential head coach.
They have the number one spot, the hottest spot, the best coaching vacancy that they think is going to be open is the Dallas Cowboys.
Which is interesting to me because all anybody says is if you go to the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to have to deal with who?
Jerry Jones.
Everybody says that. If you go in there, there's zero chance of you being able to control who's on the team. And also, if you don't do what Jerry Jones expects or thinks you're going to do, you're on national TV every single week having to run your face into a wall, basically. And that is, I don't know if that's actually the dream spot. Let's look at their team. They got a lot of talent on that team, so you could potentially turn that around. Got a lot of shine, a lot of spotlight. Dak Prescott deal still has to be done if you have a quarterback long term. But for me, I'm not sure the Dallas Cowboys are the number one job out there right now.
They said it is because of the talent. They assume Dak's going to be there. Zeke's already signed. Amari's going to be there. And they got Vander Esch and Jalen Smith on the defensive side who are young. The O-line is pretty much signed for the next few years. I think a positive is that Jerry will let you be an average coach for 10 years and not fire you.
Something to think about. Hey, tell the family to get comfortable. We're moving to Dallas for the next decade. Doesn't matter how I do. That has been prevalent in the past.
And two of the bottom openings here listed. The Giants and Redskins are in your division.
True. You got terrible people. The NFC East is terrible. If you can get a center quarterback exchange completed, you could potentially win that NFC East. That's a factual statement.
The number two spot.
Okay.
Carolina Panthers.
Why is that?
They have it listed as the GM, Matt Herney, I guess is widely respected. I didn't know that.
I think he's a Pittsburgh guy.
The owner, Tepper, was a minority owner in Steelers, so you would think, hey, he might know how to run a organization.
I think he's a Pittsburgh guy, too. I was told by somebody in the know that, hey, Carolina, they're only hiring Pittsburgh guys, which immediately makes me think, like, maybe I'm the head coach.
Or Bill Carr. Hey,
you and Carr.
Me and Bill Carr from Crafton are tag teaming this thing as head coach.
They're definitely going to have $42 million guaranteed in cap space. If they let Cam go, they get another $20 million. If Olsen and Dontari Poe retire, they have another $20 million, so they might have $80 million in cap space. They have McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel on the offensive side. Defense has stunk, but they have Kuechly and Shaq Thompson for the next couple years. So there's some up and down. Who's going to be the quarterback?
Cam Newton's definitely gone. A new head coach is going to bring in somebody new, or they're going to ride with Kyle Allen here, or Will Greer was drafted very early last year, or hey. I'm coming home, coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. And Philip Rivers could potentially go back there.
Good.
Right? I mean, he's NC State guy, Carolina Panthers. They need a quarterback. He's definitely out of the Chargers. They would have renegotiated that contract already. Does he still have fire in him? I would argue that I think. Oh, boy!
Left side. Headset down. Did the batteries come out? No, you're good.
No, we're good.
I would argue he does have fire in him, still competitive juice, talks a lot of trash, although it looks like he's throwing a med ball this year.
Always have.
That's something he can work on a little bit. Or they go with a young quarterback and let Christian McCaffrey continue to run that team. I don't know if that's the number two spot, though. I mean, maybe. Christian McCaffrey is, I guess, a reason why you'd want to go.
Do you think that's maybe because they're thinking Breeze is near like the end of his tenure and that Saints team's going to look a lot different going forward?
Jameis Winston and that Buccaneers team is
Peyton
only
Manning,
getting, only getting hotter.
Yeah. Peyton Manning.
Teddy, too, you know?
What'd you say about Peyton Manning?
Jameis and Peyton Manning, when they're 25 years old, had the same exact stats. That's what's going around the internet.
Oh, yeah. Who got buried? You got buried.
I did not get buried. First thing, if you're going to talk about Jameis and you want to, like, objectively have a discussion, don't have, like, a Buccaneers hat and, like, your kid in, like, a Buccaneers onesie in it. Like, that's subjective. You're a big fan of the team. Jameis stinks. He does.
He beat the Colts, so I can't say a single thing.
Well, there is the book out that we talked about, the one that the media is biased and is ignoring the start of a Hall of Fame football career.
Well, and I think Ty would be checkmate for that guy because Ty is a member of the media now, and he's just burying Jameis Winston.
Boom.
What's the next point?
Number three is the Falcons. They had one of the positives, Arthur Blank. Apparently he doesn't fire anybody, and he's one of the nicer owners, is what I'm told.
Nice.
Matt Ryan and Julio Jones through 2023, as well as Calvin Ridley. They have 6 first-round picks in offense. The defense stinks, and the negative, they're already over the cap next year.
So why would anybody want this job?
I think it's the offense.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium is beautiful.
Awesome.
Next level.
It's the Sphincter Stadium.
Stadium.
That thing opens like a butthole right up there, and it is beautiful. I mean, they spent $43 million on a bridge to the stadium. That's how nice the entire area is. Atlanta's a great city. I guess you'd get to live in Atlanta. A lot of things down there. Waffle House. You know what I mean? There's Coca-Cola. There's
Chick-fil-A.
A lot of things. Gus's. Nope. Gus's fried chicken, I believe.
Don't they have incredible prices in their stadium?
Yeah. So that'd make you definitely want to coach there.
They're for the consumers.
Good hot dog at halftime. $1.50
I think they're assuming that Matt Ryan's good.
That's what I'm saying. I've always been... I've heard he's a good guy, by the way. Because we're on the radio here, and this is potentially being heard by people who have never heard us before, I have to preface this with saying I've heard he's an incredible guy. I've heard he's a very funny individual. But whenever we played the Atlanta Falcons in their old stadium down there, he had to throw a Hail Mary at the end with Julio Jones, who was going to get the ball if he wanted to. And he came up 12 yards short on a Hail Mary. And at that moment, I said, how is that noodle arm an NFL MVP candidate? And then you go on and watch the 28-3 situation happen, and then you keep moving forward. It's like, I bet you Matt Ryan was very good at one point, but are we not at the point now where we're thinking, like, is Matt Ryan
a very good quarterback? Is he worth you taking a job in Atlanta, knowing that the defense stinks, knowing that you're over the salary cap, knowing that Julio Jones is not always happy down there? Mm-hmm. He's a weapon. If he was anywhere else, by the way, Julio Jones probably... It's just like what happened with Megatron up there in Detroit. Now, granted, I would assume Atlanta would pay him if he was to retire early, unlike the Lions. But Julio Jones is a freak, a specimen, a guy that you want to build a team around. But I just don't know why that team would be a hot commodity for people to go to, other than Atlanta having Lil Jon and the boys die.
What?
Yeah, which
what?
Is huge.
Yeah.
Huge asset.
Yeah. Young Jeezy, too. Also, Lil Baby. Who else did we see? Big Boy.
2 Chainz.
Yeah. 2 Chainz. Ooh. Oh. I don't know if we're allowed to say it. Are we allowed to say it? Jeezy? Are we allowed to say it?
I think so, right?
Hey, if Titty Boy's in your city, you know that's what I don't know. I don't know if I would want to take the Atlanta Falcons job.
I agree. The number 4 team, you already mentioned them, the Detroit Lions.
No. What are we talking about?
Because they have a quarterback, which is a big thing.
So Matt Patricia's getting fired? That's what he
is.
No,
they said that the Ford family has not fired a coach after 2 years. I believe since Marty Morningwig, or was, I think was
sounds
he,
right. Sounds
and
right.
He was like 12-27. Those probably don't match up. Whatever.
Foxy. Sounds right. You have no idea.
No idea. Absolutely no idea.
You didn't even know that Morningwood guy was a coach.
He might not even
coach. I remember
there.
Him.
No, he was.
Barely.
Yeah. Marty Morningwig was the coach there once.
Yeah, he stunk.
Well,
so, yeah. I mean, this is if Patricia goes, but they have their quarterback. They have a stud young wide receiver in Kenny Golladay.
Carry Do they have show. A quarterback?
Matt Stafford.
Mm. He's a broken freaking back.
Yeah, that'll heal.
Oh. Does it? Does your back just heal?
I don't know.
Mine's broken right now.
How Matt? Old is Stafford?
My age, 31, 32.
Oh, he's there until he is till 2022. So he's got 3 seasons.
He's a bulldog, though.
He's a very good football player that not enough people appreciate, I think.
I agree.
Because the only conversation about him is always like, oh, he puts up good numbers, but they never win. It's like, well, what do you want from your quarterback, man? What else is he supposed to do? Like, is a quarterback not supposed to put up good numbers and then they're supposed to win? Like, I don't understand how Matty Stafford kind of gets that bad. And I think Bleacher Report with that
unbelievable.
Yeah, that was emo.
What was that?
Yeah, Pad Statford or whatever it is. It's like, what the hell do you want your Sorry, a quarterback that's a passing quarterback is putting up big numbers. Like, what do you want the guy to do? Stink so they win more? I don't know how.
He's clearly not the problem in Detroit.
If he was to leave, how would Detroit Lions fans?
They would literally go 0-16 every single year. If he leaves the Detroit Lions, I swear to you, I'm done with the franchise.
What was your guys' record so far this year?
We've won 3 games.
Was he the starter?
Oh, no.
Yes, he was the starter in all 3 of those games.
I mean, Blau.
Don't sleep on big play Blau.
Matt Patricia.
The defense has got worse since he's got
there. I have a question, though. Matt Patricia, by all accounts, very, very intelligent football coach. By all accounts. Literally. Everybody used
rocket science.
Legit. Rockets. If you look at that Seattle Seahawks game and you hear the story behind it all, he knew they were going to throw the ball. Like, he knew it was going to happen. Everybody's like, oh, the pick came out of nowhere. It's like, no, big brain Matt Patricia with his Ticonderoga knew it was coming. So he goes in there, and it's just abysmal. It has been an abysmal situation. Now there's a broken back on the quarterback. There's a lot of things going on. Can anybody go in there and win that? If you're another coach and you see what Matt Patricia's done there, you see what everybody else is. Jim Caldwell had a couple winning seasons, by the way, and he gets fired. Mm-hmm. Like the Lions fan, Lions ownership has a couple winning seasons. They're like, get him out of here. Get Jim Caldwell the hell out of here. Doesn't have enough personality, doesn't have enough spunk. Let's bring in the big bearded smart guy with Ticonderoga. That'll work. He hasn't won. If you're a coach, why would you want to take that job? I just don't know. I guess because you have Matt Stafford. If you're a young guy, maybe not getting offers from anywhere else, I guess you go because it's a big paycheck. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I just don't see why you'd want that gig. And I don't know if they're firing Matt Patricia just yet.
No, I don't know if they are either.
I don't think so.
Tough division.
Especially with
Don.
Hey, primetime Kirk Cousins was born, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So he's only getting better. Oh, yeah. You got Aaron Rodgers.
I guess Rodgers is like the 16th best quarterback in the NFL, so you're not really worried about that.
We'll talk about that soon. That was said by a human who's paid to talk about football on television earlier today. Ty is not happy about it. I just don't know, A, if that position is going to be open, or B, if I want it. Who's number 5?
Number 5, as a team that I think you like, the Cleveland Browns.
This is a head coaching gig I could get behind here. This is something I wouldn't mind coaching. Failure is accepted. Failure is expected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are things that if you fail there, they're like, yep, there's nothing you could do. This is organizational failure from top to bottom, has been for decades now. Fan base is still going to show up. People still love the Brownies. They're still hype before the season. And if you do bad, it's just like, Same old brands.
That's just the way it'll go. But if you look at that roster, okay, on the offensive side, now, who knows what's going to happen with Odell? Apparently, Odell's been dapping people up in pregame. What up, man? Good to see you. Give me the hell out of here. All right. See you. Hey, man, what's up? Good to see you again. Yeah, you're the best. Congrats on the wedding. Give me the hell out of here. All right. I guess that's been happening.
Jimmy. 2023 is his contract, though, if they don't want to.
Yeah, so, but he's been there. Yeah. He's going to be there. Jarvis Landry's going to be there. You got
Nick Chubb
and
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt and
Denzel Ward, Miles Garrett defense.
Greedy Williams.
What are you laughing about, Zito?
Oh, nothing. Something popped on my computer. I try exiting it out. I might have a virus on my computer.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, T-Wave. Right.
Saw a kick in there. By the way, terrible what happened there. Yes. But on the defensive side of the ball, Myles Garrett's about to be neutered, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you're about to get Myles Garrett, who's only focusing on what, working out right now? He's not allowed to be in a facility if he's suspended. So all he's going to be working on is his workout, becoming quicker somehow, and he was up for like defensive MVP conversations mm-hmm. the first couple weeks. Let's say he gets back in the game. That defense is kind of coming together. If you can turn around Cleveland, you will get like a 10-year, $700 million contract. And if you can't, it's like, yeah, that's what happens. I've been told by an NFL coach before that you haven't really coached in the NFL until you get fired from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. That's just what happens. You haven't really coached in the NFL until you've been to Cleveland and got fired from there. But if you can be the coach that can turn it around, you're a hero for the rest of your life. It's like if you're in the WWE and you have a little bit of run, you can do signings forever, mm-hmm. like at bingo halls and things. You can make money for the rest of your life if you want. If you go into Cleveland in front of that dog pound and turn that franchise around, you could probably be governor of Ohio if you want, like the next day. In my eyes, that's the best job just because the expectation level, the risk reward level, everything is just in your favor if you win at all. And you don't have to win a lot. You don't have to win a lot. You win 8 games, 9 games, and then you just show that you're getting a little bit better. After Hugh Jack City and his kitchens guy, you could potentially become king of Cleveland, which is a great city to be king of. They got a couple casinos over there.
Here's the problem with that. It's got to be either a young guy or a coach on his last leg, because their GM Dorsey is a power hungry guy. He doesn't like to give up a lot of power, so whoever he gets is going to be under his thumb, and it's his second chance at being a GM. He was fired from Kansas City.
Yeah, but he built that roster, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The knock on Dorsey is he doesn't care about anything other than getting players in there, obviously. He was the only GM that would sign, you know, some players that mm-hmm. nobody else would sign.
Right.
Which, by the way, what if Antonio Brown ends up in a Cleveland Browns uniform? Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, and Antonio Brown playing wide receiver?
They'd mess it up somehow.
Now, of course. Of course they would. But if they didn't, you're a hero forever. And we said this yesterday. After Antonio Brown's Twitter spree yesterday, not 100% sure he's ever going to get back in the NFL, which we are all bummed about. But I think that Cleveland Browns position is the one that...
Here's the negatives that they're saying. 5 coaches since 2012. So he's got a quick trigger. You have to live in Cleveland. And
they said that on ESPN?
Yeah, I thought I saw that on there. You're in a division with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson's going to be good for a long time.
Yeah, and?
I'll say it, Steelers. And, I mean, the Bengals are so good that you have to record their sideline, so people think they're going to be good.
So it is a tough
one. Baker?
Joe Burrow.
Is Baker too. The future, too?
Yeah, he's going to have to be for at least another year, right? How many years they give first overall pick? 3?
You get 4 with 4. A fifth-year option, I believe.
No, but I'm saying if you fail
to get it done.
I mean, they gave Jameis and Mariota the whole 4 years.
And by the way, that Tennessee Titans team has come up out of nowhere after benching him. What if that happened? Who'd they have over there? They had Tyrod Taylor, right? Hugh Jackson had Tyrod Taylor there. Wanted him to start, and then Baker came in and lit a fire on the team. Yeah. And then how this year has happened. I will say this about Baker Mayfield. Might be the best actor in the NFL. Might be. There's a new commercial out every single week, and I'm going to say it, he's good at them.
I love the beepy one.
The beep one is people are coming after him with pets because they said it's sending their dogs into a tizzy.
Just mute it.
Soft dogs.
Well, I think when I blew his duck call, I guess all my animals started losing their mind.
That happened in my house. Yeah.
Sam sent me a text. Was like, will you stop with the damn duck call? Our three-legged cat, Scootsie, just went off the top row. My God! Okay, so go through them again.
Okay.
One, Cowboys.
So they won, Cowboys. 2 Panthers, 3 Falcons, 4 Lions, 5 Browns.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't take any of those jobs other than the Browns.
And then obviously the bad ones are they had 6 Jags, 7 Jets, 8 Giants, 9 Redskins. Good culture, the Redskins, though.
Yeah, well, Bruce Allen said that. That buffoon is a guy you'd want to work for.
Yeah.
You would not want to go there. And now, granted, will there be more coaches fired than that, or you think that's the number? That's a lot of coaches, by the way. That's like a third of the league getting fired.
I think that's the average number, like 7 to 9 normally. It's a lot.
That's insanity for me, bro. Insanity.
Welcome back. Oh, man, this show's going so good, isn't it? I hope you're enjoying the hell out of it. What I will say is, we all say don't judge a book by its cover, but we also know that's exactly what most of us do. Appearance can be everything, especially in a professional situation, which is why I want to talk to you about the bag over your shoulder. You hear me, Sam?
Yeah.
Are you still carrying that old college backpack to work or around town? If so, it's time to grow up. Look the part and get yourself a Daniels briefcase. Based in New York City, Daniels makes leather briefcases for the modern professional, and they're making boys look like men one bag at a time. See, Sam, I was asking you, and I meant
you.
I meant me.
Or you.
Yeah. It was me speaking
about you.
About me, and you knew that.
Yeah.
Because I do
because
use...
Because I'm the shopper that would get you the new... bag briefcase.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
So for Christmas,
great gift for
this is probably what I should get you.
For the modern professional, maybe the young professional in your life, or maybe even yourself, gift yourself a bag that's made from premium Italian leather. Daniels is the briefcase you'll want to gift and get this holiday season. Daniels is designed in New York City with working professionals in mind. It's a bag built for real life. That means high quality, durable, Paisan Italian leather, simplicity in design, and no flashy logos. Just timeless style that works no matter where you are in your career. We just got one of these delivered to the office, and it has a foxy inseam, a bunch of foxes. So we got it for old Evan Foxy. So Evan Foxy stops carrying around his college backpack. Whenever we're walking into these buildings, he's all of a sudden looking like a bazillion bucks. But it doesn't cost that much to become a professional-looking professional. This week, listeners of this show can get $50 off their Daniels briefcase at danielsnyc.com. That's danielsnyc.com and use the promo code PAT at checkout. That's $50 off one of their leather briefcases. Plus, they offer free shipping, free returns, and free exchanges. Treat yourself, a friend, or a loved one this holiday season with this one-of-a-kind gift. Again, that's danielsnyc.com. Promo code PAT for $50 off a handcrafted, high-quality Italian leather briefcase with free shipping, free returns, and free exchanges. Wow, it's amazing. You should go get one.
It is time for a segment. Our show is big segment show. Sometimes we get lost in the sauce and stop talking about things that truly matter in this world. And that's why we have our friend Nick with us. Ladies and gentlemen, notable news with Nick. Nick, what's going on in the world that we haven't talked about yet?
Clinton Portis is named among 10 former NFL players charged with defrauding a healthcare program.
What does this mean?
Well, essentially what they were doing is they were recruiting guys on their teams to submit false claims to the NFL, like, player health reimbursement program. So they would say, like, that they were buying, like, hyperbaric chambers and, like, X-ray machines, like, things that sometimes were costing as much as, like, $50,000 to $60,000. And then they would recruit more players to basically say, like, hey, if you file these false claims, we'll give you kickbacks or bribes or anything like that. Yeah, it's like it's a full thing. And then so
that's not good.
To execute the plan, they were filling out like fake prescriptions and like a bunch of fake stuff to like, you know, reinforce what they were doing.
By the way, Clinton Portis, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Friend of this show here. Anytime fraud is involved in things and money is involved in things, people normally go a lot harder than you would expect them to. Now, morally, things are wrong, of course, but anytime you try to take billionaires' money, that normally is a pretty big deal. And we are very much hoping that Clinton Portis can clear his name, that he wasn't as part of this as much as they are saying. I just read the article as well. They're saying Clinton Portis was a pretty big part of this, but Clinton Portis is saying he had no idea that this was happening. Obviously, he was not in the know. We are hoping for the sake of him being a friend of our show, that he doesn't end up in jail for a long time. But this feels like something, especially when billionaires are losing money and they have all their lawyers. And now you got what is it for a federal crime? More than 10,000?
Yeah, to make it to upgrade it to like grand larceny or something like that on a state level.
And it seems like it was done on more than numerous occasions, mm-hmm. way more than $10,000. This could be a real problem for these guys. And this is sad to hear about, to be honest. I don't like hearing ex-NFL players not do good. I'm actually in the process of trying to set something up to take care of ex-NFL players because of the stats that we all hear about, 80% going broke within 2 years of retiring, no matter how much money you made. Because growing up, you have no idea. I mean, some of us, when you grow up, you have no concept of what money is, right? Because your parents are just trying to make it week to week, trying to make the bills, trying to just keep us remortgaging the house numerous times, like that type of stuff. And then you're handed this gross amount of cash and they're like, all right, now be disciplined with this money. Your entire life, you've looked at things that you wanted your entire life. You've seen these incredible cars and these incredible houses and the way these people live, they have a lot of money, but you need to be disciplined with your money because you don't know how long your career is going to be. That's a lot easier to say than to actually do. As somebody that's been there, done that, who almost had $0 after my first NFL career going into my second year, if that season didn't start and I didn't make that team, we would have been right back into debt. It's very hard to remain disciplined with cash when you've never had cash your entire life. So a lot of NFL players obviously get into financial problems after they retire. And it's a lot easier said than done to be disciplined with your money, especially when there's a lot of things that are awesome out there that you could potentially, that money can give you. And now it takes guys to do desperate things to find ways to get cash and to generate cash. I hope this is all false, but boy, I don't think this ends up good for the guys, especially when you're defrauding billionaires. They don't like that, I don't think, from what I've been told just in the past.
Do you think this like pushes back all the stuff they're trying to do for like retired players too? It's like, well, we're trying to help you guys out and you're just defrauding us on the back end, so screw it. Why would we continue to do so?
I sat in like a commissioner town hall thing down at the draft, the day of the draft. It was my first time in this. It was Commissioner Goodell and Troy Smith were sitting. And then there was like a circle of chairs, and then there was like a second round of circle chairs, and it was supposed to be just an open conversation about things that we think the NFL should get better at and with retired players and stuff like that. And there was a lot of OGs. I mean, Matt Slater's dad is an OG in the NFL. I think he's a Super Bowl champ. He's a Hall of Famer. He was talking a lot. There was guys that were like in their 70s talking a lot about how the NFL has never really taken care of them, right? The game was built on the backs of these old shoulders or of these old players. And now that there's so much money being made, these guys used to have to work two jobs while playing in the NFL. Now there's so much money being made. And the NFLPA's job was to take care of the retired players in the NFL's eyes, but they haven't done that, right? So I just sat back. I literally just sat back and waited. You don't have insurance for the rest of your life. You only have it for 5 years after you retire. So a lot of these guys, you know, go into big time broken debt trying to keep up with the finances of their mental or their health issues. I mean, mental issues are also happening as well. And I sat back until the very end. I didn't say anything. I didn't think it was my role to talk in there. It was my first time I was invited to one of these. I didn't want to say too much. And at the very end, I said, you guys are currently in the middle of debating a CBA. If the NFL was to say, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put some money aside for the ex-players. We're going to put money aside so we can provide health care for the players that played before the current season that have built the NFL into what it is. You could probably get a sponsor, I'd assume, to do this. Insurance companies love sponsoring things. Have them take care of the OGs of the NFL. Everybody wins. And then if you also put a little bit of money aside to maybe help out some guys that find themselves in financial ruins, the NFL could get a good PR spin and look like absolute heroes in the whole thing, as opposed to relying on the NFLPA, who I have heard directly say, well, hey, we got to get our money. They can take care of themselves. I've heard the NFLPA say that to the active rosters, like, because every time the NFLPA would come in, as you're a young player, you don't really ask many questions, right? Because you don't really know how the game goes. You thank the NFLPA. They show you this entire video about how the NFL used to be and how it is now. And thanks to the NFLPA, they're like, yeah, rats used to run around on the locker room floor. Guys would smoke cigarettes that they had to hand roll themselves, like nice. That type of stuff. And then the NFLPA helped. It's like, I understand the purpose of the NFLPA then, right? And I understand the purpose of unions then. But now we're at the point where the NFLPA could take a much bigger step in taking care of retired players. And as you get older in those meetings, you start asking, like, is there any way we can set aside some money for retired players? Because everybody in here is going to be a retired player at some point. Like, every human in this in this building right now is going to be a retired player. And the answer that you normally get is, we can take care of that at some point. Let's worry about the guys that are in the league right now. And it's like, well, that's not great for any of us. I mean, that's good for you guys, I guess. So I pitched that idea to Commissioner Goodell's face. I was like, is there any way you guys in a good PR could just take care of the retired players, get an insurance company to give insurance for the rest of their lives? I mean, I think that would go a long way. And I got a, we'll take that in consideration, which obviously meant go to hell. but this is potentially something that, you know, like could be a bad blood between retired players, which don't need in the NFL, which isn't good. But if I know anything about billionaires, whenever money is being taken from them or frauded from them, they are going to bring the hammer extra hard down, which is not good for our friend Clinton Portis if he is doing what they're saying he's doing right now.
Right.
I don't love it. Anything else?
There, Baker Mayfield spoke up about the rumors about Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday. He said, I mean, there's all rumors going around, but I have had my conversations with him and I know what we talk about, so I trust him wholeheartedly.
Well, then that's all that needs to be said. By the way, who is telling Jay Glazer that when Odell Beckham dapped me up, he said, get me the hell out of here? I think I have a bigger problem with that than anything.
Tom. Brady.
You think Odell Beckham, whenever he handed him that shoe, inside the shoe he had a note?
It was on the tongue.
That's probably what happened. He probably, whenever he handed him that goatskin hair shoe that says OBJ on it to Tom Brady, there's probably a note inside of it that Tom Brady's kids saw, because Tom Brady probably took that to the house, just kind of put it on something, you know, was like, oh, look at this thing. And then his kid pulls out, Dad, did you see this note? And he's like, get me the hell out of here. And he's like, oh, this is hilarious. Takes it into the locker room. Somebody in the locker room then tells Jay Glazer. That is a problem, though, I have. If people are taking private conversations with Odell and taking them to Jay Glazer or other reports like that,
kind of a scumbag
move. That is a scumbag move, but I guess anytime, a rat's a rat, I guess, no matter how you do it.
Jay's in L.A., right?
Yeah.
Tom spends his off seasons there. They get chummy.
Yeah, but Tom hasn't been to L.A. since then.
I'm sure they have. Allegedly,
there's a video of him saying to Jimmy Garoppolo and Garoppolo responding, I know I got you.
Okay. We're being joined now by a guy who's a legend in the football world. He used to run through humans at the University of Miami. He was a first-round draft pick for the Buffalo Bills. He played for the Ravens, Broncos, Browns as a Pro Bowler, Heisman Trophy finalist. Ladies and gentlemen, running back, the running back, y'all, Willis McGahee.
Yeah. Yo, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Willis, our boy Clinton Portis is in a bad spot this morning, man.
Man, believe it or not, I just seen it. That's crazy.
I literally just saw it. We just read about it, and hopefully his name just got mixed up in this whole thing, and he didn't do anything. But this sounds like a bad situation. None of us know anything about it, but I am not happy about Clinton Portis being mixed up in his friend of the show, good guy. Let's pivot, though. Mr. Willis McGahee, you were a superstar in college, a stud in the NFL. You did get injured, though, in a rather large game as a college running back, and then you decided to leave. Nowadays, it seems like there is a much more prevalent occurrence of college players not playing in bowl games in aspirations of going to the NFL. As somebody who's lived it in the worst possible way, are you for or against that type of thing?
You know what? I have mixed feelings about it, man. I'm not even going to sit here and lie about it, you know, because at the end of the day, you're letting your teammates down for one.
Yeah.
If you're that marquee guy, you're letting your teammates down, you're letting the fans down at the school. You're letting a lot of people down. But then again, at the end of the day, you're trying to protect your career. You know, who says if you get hurt, you're still going to go first round? Like I did, you know. I had a situation where it was like, I thought about it. Let me clear this up. I thought about it, like just taking it easy. But when we were down, the coach was like, I don't know what's wrong with you guys. And I just felt like he was talking to me. And I was like, you know what? I was just like, forget it. I'm just going to go. Whatever happens, happens. And unfortunately, it happened to me, but I still bounce back, you know. It's a big difference from 1 to 23, though. I can tell you that much.
Well, my big thing is, in college, in the NFL, if you find yourself in a good locker room, you can have good chemistry. They can be your boys. But in college, you become boys to men. I mean, not to be cliche, but you really do. Those are your boys. So whenever I see these guys who are maybe second, third round potential draft picks, deciding to sit out in hopes of it. I'm always just like, couldn't be me, man. Like, these are your guys. These are your last chance to play with them. And I understand the business side of it all. I think agents kind of get involved in the whole thing and the business side of it. But for me, that is a much more difficult decision than I think a lot of these guys are making.
Well, at the end of the day, it's a different generation. You know, we were brought up a little different than the kids are brought up now. Now kids are getting praised coming out of Little League football, you know, like,
True. They're
supposed to be all world, this and that, and people are just pushing them along, praising them all the way until they get in high school, and they don't pan out to be the players that people expect them to be. You know, when we were younger, it was like, you didn't get praised, you had to get in where you fit in, you had to work. if you wanted to be that number one guy, you had to go to practice every day, perform, and just not, you know, do everything right. Nowadays, they can tell you you're going to be that number one guy. You're going to be that number one guy when you come in, regardless of who's been there, who's been putting that work in.
That is 100% true. Let's talk about a Florida guy who's dominated his entire life, and nobody thought he was going to be able to do it when he got to the NFL. And instead, an entire organization changed its offensive philosophy, brought in Greg Roman, and Lamar Jackson has become must-see television. Right now, they're saying his quad injury, he's questionable for this game tonight against the Jets. If you're Lamar Jackson, A, what is your mindset going into this game against the Jets, which have the number one rushing defense? And B, is there any thought that potentially rest him because the games going forward are much more important than tonight?
I would say rest him, you know, like you said, because the games are more important. This is the NFL, you know. The organization's put a lot of money or going to put a lot of money into this kid, and you don't want to see him, you know, like mess it up against a team that has nothing to lose, which their job is to just beat the Baltimore Ravens. They're not going to the playoffs. You get what I'm saying? So just rest and let them chill, you know, get ready for the playoffs. You know, it's a salty – I'm pretty sure he has a salty feeling from last year from the first playoff game.
Yeah.
And you want to get back to that game. You want to get him back to that game and see what he does and see how he performs, see if he has evolved since last year.
As a running back, a good running back, not only a great running back in the NFL and in college, do you see a lot of running back tendencies in Lamar Jackson, and is that why he has been so successful? Because he has the mind and body of a running back with this incredible ability to throw as well?
I think Lamar runs better than certain running backs because he has the moves. He has the agility. He's agile, you know what I mean? He has weapons. Running back has their eyes and feet. Lamar has eyes, feet, and hands. Ooh. And hips.
And him.
Yeah. With a little speed. So he, people like that come around once every 25 years, man. Look at Vic. Vic was the last one like that. Before Vic, who would you say it was?
Randall.
Randall Cunningham.
Or somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cunningham. Yeah.
By the way,
yeah, so now you got Lamar.
Randall Cunningham, one of the best punters to ever exist, too. That doesn't get enough credit. Guy punted like a 99-yard punt or something like that. Let's pivot to the Buffalo Bills, team that drafted you in the first round after you hurt your knee. You spent a lot of years up there. They are back. They seem like they are a team that is all the way back. McDermott has a team that he likes. Now, granted, they could potentially lose this weekend against Ducky Hodges on primetime football. What do you see from the Buffalo Bills, though, and do you like the way they're headed?
Buffalo Bills have a point to prove, man. You know, it's been some rough years, you know. They got a great Hall of Fame back over there in Frank Gore, University of Miami.
Hell yeah.
You know, he's still ticking away. I mean, they're real hungry right now, man. They're circling the wagon, that's what they say in Buffalo. Hey.
Did you enjoy your time up in Buffalo?
Buffalo was cool, man, believe it or not. You know, unfortunately, well, I departed on bad ways with the team, but, you know, not with the team, with the city. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like I tell everybody, I have a daughter out of Buffalo, man, so I have no issue with probably.
What happened? What happened? Now, I should probably know this, and it's probably a little bit more research, and bygones have been bygones. What happened?
It was a contract year, was negotiation time, and I did an interview with a paper. I want to say it was a Toronto Star. I forgot. It was one of the papers, and they were like, you know, what do you think about Buffalo playing in Toronto? I'm like, yeah, shoot, why not? You know, I'm a kid from Miami. You know, coming from Miami, going to Buffalo was like a big difference. You know, they was like, what do you do all day? I said, all I do is stay home, play video games, and I go to Dave and Buster's. So, I mean, and yeah, the reporter, of course, I didn't know this at the time. You know, reporters kind of put their own little tweet, the stories.
Yep.
And they were like, oh, McGahee doesn't like Buffalo. this and that. And I was the one going out, hanging out in Buffalo, so I didn't even understand. All I said was, we should play some games. Yeah, the team should play games in Toronto. Guess what? 2 years later, they start playing games in Toronto. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but, you know, I got my friend said this all the time. Daryl Porter played for Buffalo. He said, there's only two people in the world that got their jerseys burnt, you and LeBron. I was like, yeah, I did. I got this. They burnt my jerseys at the game, one of the home games, after I got traded.
See, I would argue that if social media was around back then, you would have been able to explain yourself. Like, no. Excuse me. I was just asked the question on whether or not I should play in Toronto. That takes out the media narrative and media spin like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, people take things and run with it, man. Yeah. Some people gonna believe it, some people not. Like, there's still some people out there who know, like, I got a lot of love for Buffalo, but, you know, there's still other people like, oh, you a dirtbag, this and that. You know how people can be.
Yeah, some people are the worst, bro. Some people are the absolute worst. Before we let you go, and I can't thank you enough for taking time today, who do you think is gonna win the Super Bowl, and do you think the Tom Brady-led offense of that Patriots are ever gonna be able to turn around?
Listen, man, I tell Eric, I'm a Baltimore guy. You know, I retired a Raven. I love to see Ravens there, but that doggone Tom Brady and Belichick is just something special come playoff time. I don't know what they got going on.
Hey, Baltimore's going to be burning your jersey, too, for what you just said.
No. I just said that they're special. I said the Patriots are special. I don't know what they got going on, but they always find a way.
Yep. They're filming stuff.
Like I said in the beginning, I would like football. I like Baltimore to get there. But you still can't count out Belichick and Brady, man.
Agreed. What do you think about the Niners and the NFC?
The Niners, I believe it's going to be out of the Niners and Seattle.
Okay. Hey, Russell Wilson, did you hear him mic'd up? And have you ever played with somebody that was as positive as him on the field? The things he was saying was like out of a movie almost. I've never heard a human in real life talk the way he talked on Monday Night Football the other night when he was mic'd up.
I don't think nobody gets more positive than Tim Tebow talking, bro. I mean, the guy does a curse, you know. Instead of him saying that, dropping the F word, he says freaking, you know, things like that. I mean, he's a positive guy. I think they both have great characteristics in leading teams, talking, inspiring. That's kind of hard to say, man.
All right. Well, hey, Mr. Willis McGahee, we're all pulling for our guy, Clinton Portis. Mm-hmm. Shout out Frank Gore. And thank you to you for having some time for us today. I can't thank you enough. Ladies and gentlemen, two-time Pro Bowler, Willis McGahee. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you, man, for having me on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you. Cheers, dude.
Howdy doody, little friends. Ravens have been punting a lot tonight. I mean, I like a good punt, but not whenever you bet the over and the Ravens. Let's get things going. Good to see you, Sam Cook. Also, good returner there for the Jets. Had no idea he existed. Brant Boyer, special teams coach for the Jets. Used to be the assistant special teams coach in Indianapolis for a long time. He also played football for a long time in the NFL as a special teamer. Used to be a wedge buster for over 10 years. Think about the legend that human has to be. Yes. If you're like most people, you set a New Year's resolution to be healthier, go on a diet, or to start working out. We do things like lift weights, run, bike, hike, and watch what we eat. But most of us will overlook the most basic activity of all, breathing. How about that? Validated by top fitness experts, performance breathing is the most overlooked activity that can do more to help you get active, perform, and recover. And I've got the easy solution for you in just 5 to 10 minutes per day. It's the XPT Life app, and it will blow your mind. Let me tell you a little bit about XPT. XPT Life was inspired by the training techniques and lifestyle habits of big wave surfer Laird Hamilton and former pro athlete Gabrielle Reese. The XPT Life app is rooted in the most basic yet powerful human trait that you need to breathe. It's that simple. The average human takes 23,040 breaths a day. So wouldn't it make sense that we should learn to breathe the best way we can to perform the best you can? That's why the real secret behind XPT and what makes it unique are the breathing programs. The team brought together best techniques from around the world to improve recovery, resilience, and performance in both the mind and body. I started doing this and I started recovering faster. I started feeling a lot more energized. And to be honest, it's just a couple little things here and there, different techniques that you can easily pick up and easily become a better breather, which makes you a better liver, which makes your life even greater. To build on the fundamentals of breathe, move, recover, XPT's revolutionary approach gives you the tools to challenge your physical and even mental boundaries. Professional athletes such as Aaron Rodgers and Kevin Durant, the U.S. military, and Olympic athletes have experienced positive effects from this system. XPT is offering you access to this revolutionary program for free with the new XPT Life. Feel less stress, more focus, and improved performance. Just go to xptlife.com/America to download the app. Many health and wellness experts are predicting XPT Life and performance breathing to become one of the hottest new trends in 2020. So be there before the trend starts. Be there at the beginning and start feeling a lot better at xptlife.com/America and download the app. There's more to it than just breathing. It is a complete program that includes XPT Move, which has personal training programs and daily workouts. The workouts are there to challenge you physically and even mentally, but the problem with pushing yourself is that you can burn out. That's why the XPT Life app also includes a recovery, with the XPT Life app guiding you through proprietary post-workout recovery plans. You can recover faster to get back into the game. You have untapped potential. Go find it and go to xptlife.com/America to download the app. That is xptlife.com/America and download the app for free. Discover how performance breathing and the XPT Life app can be your secret to your better mental and physical state.
I actually have a Colts question for you have time for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I saw this stat today on our boy Jacoby Brissett.
Which, by the way, I don't think there's been a single show that has been more supportive of Jacoby Brissett than us.
True.
Absolutely. I'm still a big fan, but I saw this stat.
All right.
So in the first quarter and third quarter of each game, he has an excellent quarterback rating. First quarter, 118.9. Third quarter, 105. In the second and fourth quarter, second quarter, 84.2. Fourth quarter, 75.5. So the criticism is first and third quarter, he's running basically off the script. And then as the game progresses beyond scripted aspects of the offense, he suffers. Is this a fair critique?
Okay, so who's that on? Is that on the coaching staff that can't adjust from the script? So the scripted plays, now granted, the scripted plays are like the plays that your quarterback's most comfortable with. The scripted plays are also to get a picture of how the defense is going to handle the different formations or schemes that you're thinking about running. So a lot of plays, I don't want to say they're not expecting them to not work, but there's a lot of plays they're putting out there that they don't really care if it works in the script because they just want to see how the defense is going to adjust to it. Okay. So if we motion this running back out of the backfield and then we run it to the left, how did they cover that running back? Maybe we can utilize this later with a little dump off, little wheel route, little screen to the right. Things along that nature. So if he's not doing well in the second quarter and the fourth quarter, in my eyes, Frank Reich has been a noted good play caller. Frank Reich has been a guy who's done very well with quarterback. I think that's almost a more damning stat on him than it is on Jacoby, right? Now, is Jacoby missing throws in the second quarter and fourth quarter that he isn't missing in the first and third quarters? Possibly. But this feels as if this is a schematic thing more so than a Jacoby thing. I could be wrong, but in my eyes, that's more damning for the offense as a whole as opposed to Jacoby Brissett as a singular person. Now, the Colts are going to have to make a decision here about Jacoby. I think he's definitely going to get another year. I think he's going to get an entire offseason being the starter, which he has never gotten, by the way. In his entire career, he has never had an entire offseason being the guy. He's never had an entire offseason in the weight room, everybody knowing he's the guy, in the meetings, everybody knowing he's the guy, even in the cafeteria, knowing that you're the guy is just a different world, right? What you say matters more. Your ideas and your opinions on concepts mean more. The whole team is basically shaped around you. This is Jacoby's first opportunity to have an offseason for that. I'll be excited to see how he does next year because at the beginning of this year, he looked unstoppable. And then he had that knee injury in Pittsburgh, which nobody could have guessed. Cam Hayward picked up Quentin Nelson, dumped him on his knee, and everything has kind of changed since then. I'm excited to see what Jacoby does next year. And he's had a pretty good rate for a starting quarterback as opposed to being paid this asinine amount of money, which a lot of starting quarterbacks have to have. They have to build a team around him. But for me, that's more damning on the scheme and the strategy of the offense as opposed to Jacoby.
As someone who has to deal with this all the time, I'm hearing a lot of things like second quarter, fourth quarter, second half of the season. Maybe he's just getting tuckered out.
Yeah, maybe he's tired, huh? Maybe he gets tired after the first quarter. There isn't a long enough break in between the quarters. Need a little bit longer. We need more dogs humping each other, catching frisbees.
Maybe he's just tired.
Maybe he gets a little tired. Well,
because it is his first full starting season, right?
And he didn't know until, what, 10 days before the season started he was going to be the starter. That's like whenever I went in the year, we ended up eventually going 2-14. I show up at training camp. And I had a great offseason. I mean, a great offseason. And I get a text message from the sheriff saying, hey, come down and see me. I'm down in the training room. And I hadn't seen him for like a month or two. And I assumed he just wanted to hear some stories, you know, vicariously live through me, what I just did. And I walk in and he just has all these wires coming off of him. And I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? And then one of my good friends, who's the head physical therapist at the Colts, looks at me and goes, and I have like big eyes. He goes, oh, you didn't expect to see this, huh? And I was like, what the hell is going on? He goes, oh, hey, pal, I got to do this for like another 30 minutes. You do anything cool this offseason? I was like, well, it appears as if I didn't train hard enough. It appears as if we're going to be punting a lot more than I expected. And that was whenever I was kind of told, like, hey, he has a little bit of a neck issue. There might be there's a spinal fusion thing that's happening and all this stuff. And then lo and behold, we signed Kerry Collins out of retirement, out of a hunting. I think he was in a deer stand whenever we hired him. He didn't want to come back. And then Curtis Painter and Orlovsky, and we go 2-14. But that was one of those things where if I knew we were probably going to break a record for punting, I probably would have done a little bit more in the offseason. I was coming into the season ready to skip right back into the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, knowing that we have the greatest of all time. And then whammy, I'm summoned down there basically from a flip phone text message. And I see these wires coming out. I'm like, damn. I'm going to go start doing some cardio. It looks like we are going to be punting a lot this year. Turns out we did. Almost broke the record for most punts in the season. I was not ready for it. Jacoby, an entire offseason being a starter, he'll probably treat a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for him. And I'm excited to see the Colts. But that is a very interesting stat right there. I think the whole organization is going to have to look at that.
And stuff. I like your explanation much better than Diggs's. Let's go with play calling and a young wide receiver.
Oh, and he could be tired. I mean, it's something that could happen. And also, when T.Y. is not in, it's a whole different ballgame. So I'm assuming they're going to get another weapon. They're going to have to get another weapon aside from T.Y. So T.Y. isn't just eating double and triple teams, which is what T.Y. has had to do because he's the only weapon. I assume they'll bring in somebody else also. I'm excited to watch what Chris Ballard does with the roster.
In terms of preparation, though, like they say that quarterbacks prepare the same way no matter what, but there's no way that he was preparing to be the starting quarterback going into this season in the offseason, right?
So they were saying that all OTAs, he was getting the one snaps. In all training camp, he was getting the one snap. So I think just mentally it's a lot different than the physically. I think with Andrew, wasn't taking a lot of reps anyways because of different injuries that they were skating around. They're like, it was his ankle, I think, at one point. It was his knee at one point. Todd, am I right with that? Yeah, I think it was like they said it was his ankle he wasn't practicing, then his knee at one point. Yep. It was this. Like, he didn't practice at all during OTAs. And the local news was just like, Andrew sits out again today, but don't worry, Colts. Like, the messaging was always like, Andrew hasn't practiced yet, but don't worry. And then training camp started happening. Like, Andrew is resting today, but don't worry. And then whammy, that Adam Schefter tweet comes out of nowhere. So Jacoby took a lot of one reps because Luck wasn't practicing. But mentally, knowing you're the guy, it's just a whole different ballgame. I mean, there are humans out there. You expect, he gets paid a lot of money to do his job. It's a kid's game, all that stuff. Yeah, but when you know you're the CEO of an operation, you're going to act a lot differently than the regional manager will. That's just a very easy way to look at it. And I would assume now with head coaches too, right? Like when these head coaches get these jobs, it's a whole different ballgame now. Mm-hmm. No longer are you just a coordinator where you only have to worry about your side of the ball. Now you got to answer a lot of dumb questions about a lot of things. It's a whole different world whenever you become the guy in different positions, I would assume in real life as well.
I have a stat here for you.
I'm excited for it. Hey, Tony, stats.
I mean, this is before rookie contracts and everything like that, but the Colts, again, they have $107 million in cap space next year.
That's what I'm saying. And Chris Ballard, by the way, has done good with the money. He's paid people that have done a lot for the Colts. Jack Doyle just signed a big deal. He paid Jacoby Brissett, made him the guy. T.Y. Hilton, I assume, is going to get paid again soon. And they need to bring in some weapons on the offensive side of the ball. And Chris Ballard lives and dies with the trenches, loves it. I assume they'll invest in that. But the AFC South is becoming a team that people are really going to have to start reckoning, especially if Tannehill gets an average deal down in Tennessee. You got Tannehill, a revamped, revitalized, good Tannehill, as opposed to the Dolphin Tannehill, where the offensive line coach was running through more Colombian Bam Bam than what's-his-face, the narco guy.
Escobar.
Yeah, Escobar.
Pablo.
So Tannehill is Deshaun Watson. I mean, this – and if Gardner Minshew continues to get better, which is hilarious to think about, the AFC South's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And Colts got to keep getting better, man.
You think T.Y. still has some time left?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He came out this week and said he wants to play again this year. He's not giving up on his team.
Yeah. T.Y. doesn't get hit much. He kind of, the only thing that ever happens is he gets like a pull or a bruise or something like that.
Nagging injury.
But, yeah, but he's a Ferrari. That guy is very fast. He's not as big as everybody else, so he's figured out ways to not get hit. And he is just a smart football player as well. High football IQ. Learned a lot from Reggie Wayne. Knows how to find holes. He's a quarterback's best friend. But when he gets hurt, the entire team suffers from it. That's why you need another weapon. Need another weapon for sure. What did Roger Goodell say in his press conference at the owners' meetings? I'm excited to hear it. Anthony, you know?
I do know.
Okay.
He started off that he sees no momentum in changing the playoff seeding because the Eagles and Cowboys stink.
By the way, the only change that I would like to see potentially in the playoffs is an asterisk, a clause that if you have a losing record, you forfeit your automatic bid for the playoffs to the next highest conference team.
I like that.
I don't think that's too crazy. I think if your division can't find a team that can have a winning record, you don't deserve a shot. That's just the way it should go. Give it to somebody else, especially in this NFC where there's a lot of hot teams right now. The fact that one of them are going to have to sit out because of the NFC least is a, in my eyes, potential conversation starter. But I think the NFL playoffs are perfect. I mean, I would like it to be known that I think the NFL playoffs are perfect. And this does not happen on a regular occasion where a team with a losing record gets in like this. It's only happened every once in a while. But not a bad thing to put a little, you know, little clause in there. A clause to the clause. Unless you have a losing record and you still are divisional champs, you forfeit your right for the bid to somebody else that has tried and played better than you have this particular season.
Yeah, because the Rams and Vikings with a much better record one of those teams are going to have to sit out.
And that's a shame.
It's a shame.
That's a shame. Kick them off the tour, Doug.
Raj also said the league has moved on after Kaepernick chose not to take an incredible opportunity.
By the way, normally the world is against Roger Goodell. I think with the way that entire thing panned out, a lot of people who were even on Colin Kaepernick's side, like I was on Kaepernick's side, by the way, a lot of people have come after me on the internet from both races, whites and African-American folks, saying that I was dumb for taking my positioning, which has always been, I very much understand what he was kneeling for. I appreciate the fact that he generated a conversation that has potentially made our country a better place and a more understanding place. And although the reason for the protest was definitely confused on both sides of the aisle here. One was fighting for injustice. One thought it was completely against the military, which you could see how both sides could potentially run with it. They turned their backs on each other, decided not to talk to each other. And I, who have been in an NFL locker room and around a lot more of these situations, I think I have a little bit more understanding. Like, yeah, I understand that these guys feel a duty to give back to their community, which is what Colin Kaepernick was doing, and a lot of guys that took a knee throughout the whole thing. It just got misconstrued. I was on Kaepernick's side for a long time. I thought it killed ratings. I don't think a lot of people expected or appreciated. I think it very much turned people off from the NFL, but I think it, in the end, made our world a better place. And for one day, we all wish. By the way, Jay-Z wishes this, who set this up. I wish this. I think a lot of people. Just for one day, he played by the NFL's rules. And if they didn't sign him, I think even more people would have been on his side. Instead, he made it a distraction. He made it a show, a cluster. And ain't nobody going to want to sign him now. And honestly, you can't blame him at this point. I think there were some teams that were thinking about signing him. And then what happened. And now it's just like, yep. Roger Goodell can say things like this. And everybody's like, yeah. We feel you, man. We agree completely. And by the way, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I can understand how you don't trust the NFL for what has happened. But for one day, just one day, if he would have just played their game, this could be a completely different story. Could have came full circle. Mm-hmm. But instead, here we are. He's probably never going to play in the NFL again.
It's a shame.
I don't know. I don't know if he's good or not. I have no idea if he's good or not. I think there's teams that legitimately wanted to sign him, though, that would have appreciated a workout without the cameras and without the things. They could talk to him, ask him questions, and all that stuff. But instead, he made it about him and his team and whatever. Roger Goodell's done with it, by the way.
Ship has sailed.
I do not want to hear any more questions. Mr. Z, Hova, made me do that workout, and he made us look like fools, so I'm done with it completely, is what Roger Goodell said.
In regards to the CBA... Raj isn't sure how far apart the owners and players are. I don't know where we'll be. I know we've committed to work hard and try to keep the issues at the table and try to see if we can reach an agreement.
All this is PR now. A couple weeks ago, they were like, oh, we're almost near being finished. That's either the NFL saying we're almost near finished to put pressure on the NFLPA not to come out and say, no, we're not, because then the NFLPA looks like a bunch of spoiled brats, or it's the NFLPA putting that out to make the NFL look bad. Just know that during these CBA negotiations, it is 1,000% a PR spin in an attempt to get leverage over the other person. That's just the way it goes. They want it to be billionaires versus millionaires, but it's not that. Remember that. It's everyday guys who've worked their ass off to get into a league trying to leverage against 30 billionaires, including the guy at the Raiders. Yeah. And then the Packers negotiating. It's going to be a crazy scene. The fact that they were thinking about finishing early is crazy. Now, on the casting couch, the chatting couch, is a man from Boston who steals all of our snacks in our office.
Oh, come on.
Connor Campbell. How's it going, Connor?
It's going well, actually.
Hey, I'm sure it's going well.
You know, it's funny you say that. I could go for a snack maybe here too, you know?
Yeah, so we have to buy snacks, obviously, because we're a fully running office here. We got like 12 people that work here on a daily basis. You know, we try to keep it a little bit upbeat, try to keep some snacks in here. Every single time Ty, Zito, Fox, and I would get back to the office, though, it'd be a long day. There'd be no snacks left in the office. And then I go through our finances, and we'd be dumping money into snacks every single week. So I'm like, all right, so we're just losing money at some point. And when I get here and I'm starving, there's nothing left. Got a Simply Safe camera, obviously, as everybody should. Mm-hmm. Connor was just emptying out the drawers, dumping it into bags and taking it to that hellhole of a house, the pub.
Oh, come on.
Look, I don't want the snacks to go bad, too. I mean, I'm kind of looking out for you guys.
That's
really.
Right. Now, they all have preservatives in them. I mean, it's next level. Connor's about to be in the outhouse pretty quick. DJ Nick Maraldo is on the ones and twos. How's it going, Frankie boy? Take it easy. We take it easy. This is a serious thing. We're dumping so much money into these snacks.
I know, I get yelled at by Phil. CFO Phil yells at me every time.
Well, it's something that, you know, try to be a good company. Like, at least we could do is get some snacks for the guys that are in here working, grinding away.
Very nice.
And turns out...
of you guys, you know?
Yeah.
Very nice of you guys.
Yeah, it is, Connor. We'll move forward to talk about sports, but just know that there's some sort of punishment coming at some point.
You know what? I'll bring some snacks in tomorrow for you guys.
Back in.
I got a couple boxes. got a couple boxes of cheeses that you guys are going to love.
All right, all right. I hope you've had an amazing week, which is going to propel you into an impeccable weekend. Sam Darnold just got sacked, had a fumble. Baltimore Ravens ball going in score. Probably going to go up 21 right here. All right. Anyways, it's good for my bet. Great for my bet. Not great for Jets fans. I'm not sure how many are left. Good for the Ravens. Good for Lamar Jackson. It's been a wild week for us, man. It's been a wild week. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I did a Cheez-It launch. Then I had to do 15 interviews back to back to back to back to back to back. The Patriots videotape scandal that happened then got debunked pretty quickly. Roger Goodell this. I mean, it's been a wild week in the sports world. And I think your weekend is going to be awesome. I honestly do believe that. I think we can make it a little bit better, though, because everybody loves the feeling of winning, especially the feeling of winning the holidays. If you're giving everybody's Bombas socks this holiday, you deserve a spot in the Holiday Gifting Hall of Fame. Did you know that socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters? Bombas socks were created to change that. For every pair you buy, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. That's very nice of them, especially this holiday season. Bombas socks are soft, not just pretty soft, more like made with the softest cotton in the world soft. And they're built with extra cushioning, so matter where you are, whether you're walking the dog, chilling at home, playing drums, or saving the world, you'll be comfortable. Bombas socks provide support in places you didn't even know you needed it, like your arches. Each sock is built with a special arch support system that's supportive but not too tight, like a nice hug, but on your foot. Ever notice that annoying toe seam most socks have? That little ridge on the top? Bombas got rid of it. From now on, it's just smooth sailing all the way across the top of your foot. For me, it's a big deal because I got wide feet, and they put that seam across the top, and it used to get on my pinky toe that would dig into the side of my shoe, and all of a sudden, I'm walking around with 8 good toes and 2 hurt pinky toes.
So shout out to Bombas for doing that. You do a lot of different things. So Bombas made a lot of different socks, like dress socks for work, performance socks for working out, and limited edition holiday socks. They even have a line of Merino wool socks. Merino is like regular wool, but magical. They're soft, warm, and naturally moisture-wicking, never itchy or rough. You know that person who's just a gift enigma, completely impossible to shop for? Bombas is the gift that even that person will love. Everybody will. If you want to give someone a perfectly nice gift, give them a candle. If you want to be a holiday gifting ninja, a holiday gifting hero, give them Bombas. Go to bombas.com/McAfee today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/McAfee, M-C-A-F-E-E, bombas.com/McAfee. And thanks to Bombas for the incredible socks. And thanks to you for listening to this show. From all of us at PMI, we appreciate you for everything. Can't do anything without you. We'll continue to work our asses off to provide you content. Now that the schedule's slowed down, I'm looking to make bigger things, bigger interviews, bigger conversations for this podcast. I think I might take it live in front of some theaters with some interviews, kind of like that Dave Letterman, my next guest thing is. I want to kind of get into that. I want to provide magical content for you people. My schedule hasn't allowed for, you know, I mean, I think we've crushed it, obviously, but I think we could definitely get you some incredible shit and look for that in the next couple months. That's what I'm going for. One job to end, ended. One job to end. I mean, speak English, dude. I'm tired. One job ended, though, Thursday Night Football. And now it's time to pick up something else. And I think building this podcast to make it magical is what I'm going to do. So I appreciate you for listening and know that we're only going to get bigger and better. And from all of us at PMI, we can't thank you enough. Ty Schmidt, play some independent music.
For those interested, this is Buddha by Context.